Begin.
Please note that the following program includes adult themes and language.
You're listening to the weekly show on Discourse.
Oh yeah, I'm back.
Welcome back to Discourse. I'm Morgan Nickel, big mouth dickhead from the internet.
And I'm Dylan Reeve, comfortably numb.
And thirsty?
No, I'm good.
No, you haven't got the dry horrors?
No.
The returning of former regular cultural commentator and Wellington correspondent has been put off. Apparently she's not even in the little smoke where she currently lives. She's in transit. She's travelling like a little jet setter. And so she can't be anywhere near any microphones or any internets.
My suspicion, it's largely unfounded, but my suspicion is that she's travelling to Auckland Airport to meet the 11:50 p.m. flight of Justin Bieber.
Oh, little Bieber is on the way to Nizzle again, is he?
Allegedly. I can't wait for the screaming girls to descend upon. I don't really give a shit, actually.
I've never called New Zealand Nizzle before.
I was just ignoring that.
I actually quite like it.
Nizzle.
Nizzle. A little Nizzle.
Nizzle.
So it sort of sounds like Nizzle. Little Nizzle. Nizzle in Pacific. You know?
We live in Ickle Nizzle.
Ickle Nizzle. We've newly invented knees. Don't know how that fits in.
What happened this week?
A very exciting thing.
Okay.
Well, I guess it wasn't this week, but you've released a new thing. Does it count as a startup? I don't even know. You've released a new software product.
Yeah, so I'm a programmer. Oh, I don't know. I don't know what Ben's been complaining about all this time. This software development thing's easy.
Yeah, if you do it badly, it's easy.
The problem is it's really hard to explain. Mm. Well, maybe it's not hard to explain. You've all seen TV shows where they make TV shows, right? Like, I don't know. Oh, even Wayne's World, you know? Camera one, camera two. There's a vision switcher, right? You push buttons, it switches cameras.
Or The Newsroom, where you got that guy with the voice.
Yeah, the voice is freaky.
Oh, that guy. Wow.
Me too. Anyway, so in a multi-camera studio environment, much like the one we used when we filmed that live election podcast video thing.
Oh, tell me about it. Don't remind me. That's the best thing that I've ever made.
Anyway, so the typical scenario is 3-4 cameras into a vision switcher. You push the buttons, the switched video comes out the other end.
Yeah.
And you record it or you broadcast it live. I've written a piece of software that basically interfaces with the vision switcher, and instead of just pushing that video out, it kind of records the information about which camera you put on when, so that later you can just put it all together in an editing suite and have the decisions you made live when you were saying, oh, camera one's got a good shot and camera three next, and just put them all in the edit suite and tweak them to your heart's content and then release them.
Cool.
Put a thing out.
Nice.
So I've written this to solve a specific problem.
Now, I think I have a hunch I know what that is, but I'm going to talk about something unrelated. I was at the recording of a niche popular cult, whatever. What do they call them? Cult something.
I don't know.
TV show called Media 7 at TVNZ. And they record sort of live multi-camera in studio. And presumably they can do a bit of editing, you know, if they need to. And with something like the software that you've got, that would make that process easier, wouldn't it?
Well, it would. So there's two things. One is you could always just take three cameras and record them and then take all the stuff into the edit suite and try and put it together. That's fine. That's easy. But the problem is that you kind of need to direct the cameras live to know that you've got what you think you've got, especially in a show that's a bit, you know, in an unrehearsed nature, like an interview show like that.
Yeah.
You sort of need to be cutting the cameras live to know that you've got everything you've got and that, you know, things are right.
Yeah.
And you want to direct the cameras as well. You want to say, you know, camera one, get a tight shot on the presenter. Camera two, I need a two shot.
Yeah.
And if you're not watching all of them and directing them live, you can't really do that. So, yes, you want to do it live and you want to do that cutting thing. But, of course, it would be great for a show like that.
I've been instructed by Discourse director, producer, New Zealand Benedict Gracewood from the internet, and
producer emeritus.
Now, what was it you say when you roll a pre-recorded thing?
Roll VT.
It was cool.
Okay, camera operators, let's get ready to roll. Camera one, are you ready?
Ready with my camera.
Camera two, are you?
Camera two is ready.
Camera 3 has the captain at the helm.
Oh, I'm all ready, Mr. Director.
Okay. Camera 1, zoom in.
We don't really have fair use in this country, so I should probably stop at that point.
Yeah. well, we do if we choose to consider that to be a review. And I love the Wiggles. Frankly, they're great.
I would like to review that man's purple skivvy, and I would say it's purple and it's a skivvy. It covers his nipples completely. Very well
it
done.
It does. Yeah. That's the gist of it. I made it for a friend of mine who's producing a television show about models in an Asian country.
Oh, hard job. Mm-hmm. Oh, I bet I know who that is.
You do know who that is. Yeah. And it's he's doing it, you know, for a specific purpose there.
Yep.
And it suited his needs. And so I've made it for that. And now I have hopefully other potential clients.
Cool. That's ace. I hope you make $1 million.
That'll happen.
US currency. how is it that the Nigerians always say it? I guess I'd have to pronounce it carefully and then write it in numerals and parentheses
US dollars all.
Or just get it completely wrong. Befuddle the whole thing. US dollars, 1 million sterling.
Sounds about right.
Yeah, approximately like that. Hey, so what do we normally do on the show? Oh, yeah, that's right. We spoke about last week. Did we actually talk about the thing that we couldn't find an angle for?
No. So, well, we were going to talk to someone from Adobe, but we wanted to avoid seeming like we were sellouts and we were just calling someone up and saying, hey, tell us about the great new features in Adobe CS6. But I did go to the Adobe CS6 Rocks Roadshow. That's what they called it. I'm not editorializing. And it was cool. I don't know. I mean, I use these products a lot and other people do as well. And it's always great when you go to someone like this and you see people who know what they're doing and they teach you new things and tell you stuff you didn't know and give you some inside information.
Yeah.
So that was cool. I spoke to them about my big annoyance with the Adobe Creative Cloud that we have to pay like a 25% premium basically for living in New Zealand. And that was sad.
And they said nothing about that. They said, suck it.
Well, it's unfortunately out of their control. The Australasians would love to have price parity with the Americans, but that they don't set the pricing.
So they said, suck it.
They said, we understand your concern. Suck it. No, they didn't say suck it, but I got the impression that they are frustrated by having to quietly sit there and listen to people complain about the price difference all the time.
Yeah, like Apple.
Yeah, allegedly they take a basically a 5-year average on the exchange rate and do their pricing based on that.
Which
is basically what Apple does as well.
5 years.
Yeah, it does. It does seem flawed, to
fucking
say the least.
Hell, that seems really long.
Yeah, especially in, you know, volatile economic situations. So,
speaking of volatile situations, well, so Ben says the hedging. Of course, there's hedging, and then there's hedging.
Yeah, I mean, fundamentally, when you're talking about like the Creative Cloud, it's an online service. It's an online subscription based service.
Let us pay
in
US dollars.
We couldn't pay US dollars for it.
Let us pay US dollars.
I subscribe to, well, I don't at the moment, but I have been subscribed in the past to US services that I pay in US dollars.
Yeah.
But that's not how they operate. So
Discourse.co.nz/VPN.
Still, I think it represents great value. Like I think it works at about $80 a month in New Zealand, and you get basically everything you'd get in the Adobe Master Suite plus a few extra things. And the software's great. It's getting,
you know,
it's
that
getting
actually
much better.
$80. If you're doing it professionally, anything like professionally, $80 is a pretty good price.
$80 is nothing. I mean, you think about it, you know, even if you're just doing like Photoshop, it was like a couple of billable hours a month and you've paid for your software.
Yeah.
Much better than
a couple,
you know,
more
coming,
and you've paid your rent, and then a couple more and you've paid your electricity bill. But then you need a couple more still if you want to eat.
Yeah, there's a few billable hours required, but it's much better than, you know, coming up to every 2-year release cycle or 18 months or whatever, and you want to you know, pay whatever, like $2,000 or whatever it is to upgrade.
So what kind of food did they give you?
Well, so there was two things. One is I went to the roadshow, but they also invited me to a pre-roadshow dinner, which I thought, I don't know what I thought it was going to be, but it was a bit weird because I ended up there with a bunch of basically Adobe Roadshow presenters, mostly Adobe staff.
Yeah.
And a few
is
people
that the
who
thing
weren't.
That I was invited to as well?
I think so. I don't know.
What the fuck were we invited to that for?
I don't know, but I went. It was the food was good, and it was interesting talking to people. And I don't know why I was there, but it was cool. It was great to meet some people who are, you know, and see that Adobe's really interesting because they are really good at hiring quite high profile and enthusiastic community people.
Yeah.
So a lot of the people who work for Adobe and present for Adobe now used to, until recently, you know, be either consultants or bloggers or, you know, made video tutorials, which is really neat. They're hiring from their user base. They're not hiring from, you know, however else other companies often do. So anyway.
Just for future reference, if you're listening to the show and you're a PR person, you know, you can invite me to whatever events you want. I'm not going to come because I am cripplingly shy and only like to do things with my friends, but people I'm actually comfortable with. So that's basically it. You are free to invite all of us, anyone in the crew. I'm the only one who won't come. So that probably makes it more
I'll come. I love
if there's media free stuff, whoring. If there's free stuff, then Dylan's there. And if there's media stuff, Ben was probably there before the invite even went out.
Yeah, Ben's usually there.
Did they give you a phone? The only thing, actually, if you're a PR person and you're setting up some kind of event and you're giving away new phones, I will fucking come. Please,
come for a new phone.
Please do it soon. I really need a new phone.
I got nothing. I can't help you with that.
Or actually, if you work at a telco and you've got, you know, some cool new phone that you want to give away, give us three and I'll have one and then our listeners can have two, something like that.
Yeah, that always works out well. If you hear strangeness in the background, there's a baby who refuses to sleep and is now crawling around in the background. So
you know, speaking of babies who refuse to sleep,
okay.
Have you heard of fairdeal.net.nz?
No.
Have you heard of ACTA? Have you heard of CETA?
Yes.
Have you heard of Bleh? Have you heard of TPPA?
Yes.
Well, fairdeal.net.nz is all about the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement. And preventing it from changing our copyright laws. Now, you know, we're a small nation and we're reliant on trade. So things like the Trans-Pacific Partnership Agreement are pretty valuable to us. They are, they're about trade.
Represent advantages in trade to us.
But what the Americans have done is decide that there should be a bunch of IP stuff, copyright stuff injected in there, and also a bunch of stuff about corporations suing our government, and we can't sue our government, so why would we let foreign corporations do it? I say we shouldn't do either of those things. I think the TPPA, or as they call it, just TPP there, I guess maybe they abbreviate the agreement part.
It's not an agreement as far as they're concerned.
Well, no, exactly, it's not. But the thing is, as far as I understand it, from the little background reading I've done, like 2 weeks ago in the paper on a Sunday in a cafe, this is actually our idea. We started this, New Zealand. This is our thing.
What, TPP?
Yeah.
Is it?
Yeah, but we never intended it to have any of this IP stuff in it. That's only been inserted recently. Or the, you know, foreign corporations suing governments. I don't think that was ever intended to be in there. But our government, our negotiators, well, who knows? They won't talk about, you know, their motivation. But they, what we've had out of our government, now who was it? Was it Secret Smile? Was it Tony Ryle? It was Ryle or it was Joyce? Which fucking one was it? One of those douche nozzles. He was talking about how, you know, all trade agreements and so on require giving up a certain amount of sovereignty. And I was reading it and I was just thinking, that just seems like bullshit. You know, if you go into an agreement with your eyes open, it's actually not giving up your sovereignty.
Well, I mean, obviously everyone involved wants to get certain benefits.
You can have a win-win.
That seems, yeah, I mean, the quid pro quo should be equitable. And
I'll quid your pro and then we can all go and have a quo.
Precisely. And I'll allow your quos to come into my pro. Anyway.
And then it's a quid each way and away we go.
It's great. What are we talking about?
I don't remember. Do we want to do some news?
Sure, let's have a crack.
Fairdeal.net.nz.
I've searched it all very thoroughly.
If you're interested in this, go to Fairdeal.net.nz. It's a giant long page. It's not actually that big. Go and read it, see what they have to say. Learn about what you can do to help contribute. Because, you know, we actually, this is within our control. We actually can tell the government not to do this. You know, or to, yeah?
So, I was just thinking, if we're heading into the news, this actually transitions well into one of the news items.
And now the news.
Check that out. So fucking pro.
.com.
Yep.
Kim.
Yep.
Trial has been moved. Was to be heard by David Harvey.
David Harvey, New Zealand's foremost technology judge.
Knows
what he's talking about. He's been doing it for years. He's excellent.
Yep. He's recused himself. He's stood down from it. Because of comments he made at the NetHui, where he said, what did he say? I haven't got the quote, but yeah, we've met the enemy, and the enemy is the US.
The enemy
in relation
is,
to.
Well, the thing is, here's the line. The original line is, we've met the enemy, and the enemy is us. And
yes.
His quote was, we've met the enemy, and the enemy is US. So it's
yes.
a little pun in there. It's quite
well,
clever.
He said both of those things, apparently. The first thing he said was at a presentation he was giving, and then the second thing he said was a quote from the audience that was punning on the thing he'd said previously.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, kind of reasonably, probably, he's been seen to... Well, he's chosen to step down rather than avoid... accusations of a potential conflict of interest or prejudice, I guess.
Mm.
So it's a shame, and I don't say that because, you know, I thought that he was definitely going to rule in .com's favour or anything like that, but I say it's a shame because, you know, he's the, what do they say, the jurist who we believe has the best understanding of the issues involved.
Yeah. Well, I'm very sad because he's about the only New Zealand judge whose name I even can remember. He's been around a long time, and he does seem to have made some pretty, you know, rational, informed decisions, which we hope that judges always make, but it doesn't always seem to be the case.
Well, I mean, obviously it's unfortunate if judges aren't familiar with the stuff that they're judging.
They can be gulled.
Presiding over and have to rely on the interpretations of others.
That's right. So, you know, if the Crown lawyer... who I've heard pretty bad things actually about the Crown Law. If the Crown lawyer is really convincing and you don't know any better, you know, you might make a bad decision. It's possible.
Well, it's easy to be baffled by science, isn't it?
Yeah, it's easy.
We've all
blinded by science.
Not baffled.
Next story.
Do you have any more? Do you want me to do some?
I don't know.
I've got a lot to get through. I've got extremely important news up first. That's why it's first. The Tip Top building. That I've always thought of as, you know, when I see it on the motorway, returning to Auckland from south of Auckland, I see the Tip Top building on that corner there, and I just think, far out, I'm just about home, this is great. And the building is still there, but they're changing it. Instead of having the giant rainbows, it's just turning into, you know, kind of a glass box, which it makes me a bit sad, because now, you know, returning, I mean, it's actually a bit amazing that it's the same now as it has been for, you know, essentially, you know, living memory for me, obviously not for some people. How long do you think Tip Top has been there? I have no idea. But now they don't look the same. So it's not going to be quite as much of a relief to drive back into my beloved city from that hellhole that is everywhere else in New Zealand that isn't my beloved city. Hello, podcast listeners. I don't know where you live. Auckland's better, though, than wherever you are, even if you're in Auckland. Because my Auckland is imaginary, something like that. I'm filling now because he's obviously muted. He's talking in the background, and we can hear that he's talking, but he's not on the show anymore. He's left.
Sorry, I'm just sorting out a thing. Just carry on without me for a sec. I'm here. Just carry on. I'm here. I've just got
next
a thing.
Next story.
Fine. Cell phones, tracking devices that happen to make calls, or even that's no phone. This is from the New York Times. That's no phone. That's my tracker. The device in your purse or jeans that you think is a cell phone, guess again, it's a tracking device that happens to make calls. Let's stop calling them phones. They're trackers. Most doubts about the principal function of these devices were raised when it was recently disclosed that cell phone carriers responded 1.3 million times last year to law enforcement requests for call data. 1.3 million. That is a fucking huge number of times. That's not even a complete count, because T-Mobile, one of the largest carriers, refused to reveal its numbers. It appears that millions of cell phone users have been swept up in government surveillance of their calls and where they made them from. Many police agencies don't even obtain search warrants when requesting location data from carriers. So why do they get it? I don't know. And who knows what happens in New Zealand, because sometimes it's hard to find out some of this stuff. Because, you know, what does the Government Communications Security Bureau, what do you think they do in the background? Probably nothing with cell phones, actually. They don't think they do much New Zealand policing. I think they mainly just listen to China. And I don't know what they hear from China. All gobbledygook as far as I can tell.
So I have a thing.
Yeah.
I just, as a parenting thing, now need to take my youngest child to a doctor.
What?
Well, he may have chicken pox. He's just come up with a lot of spots. He's been a bit spotty, and they've just got quite a lot worse. And he's very upset. And I need to go.
Holy shit. Well, that sounds really serious.
Yeah. So.
Well, I'm going to put some random people in the call and see what happens.
Yeah.
Don't know if it will work. That didn't work. That didn't really work.
So, I had no other good stories, though. You can have Melanie. She'll talk about her hair.
Has she been drinking?
No. Should she?
So let me just get this straight. She's staying there, and yes, you're going to the hospital.
I'm a lot better at doctory things.
Oh, is she like afraid of needles or something?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Well, I mean, I guess needs must. So go and take care of your kid. I'm going to try and get old Ben on. He's going to say no, because he's probably actually, you know, doing paying work.
No, he's not. He's not doing anything good.
He might not be doing anything good, but that doesn't mean he's not doing anything.
Look, there you go.
You should go, dude.
Yep. I'll
get going. Oh. And if I can't find anyone, that's the end of the show. Thank you for listening to our 22-minute show, which is the shortest ever. Because of some fucking kids, goddamn whatever. It's too bad. It's one of the nice ones.
He's the good one, but he's just prone to unwellness at the moment.
Yeah. All right. Well, so get going.
Apologize for leaving you early.
No. Get going. You got to do it.
The show would have been awesome.
It's still going to be awesome, but it's just going to be me reading web pages into a microphone.
That was how this was originally envisaged. Yep. So that should be fine.
Yep. That's pretty much the whole thing.
All right.
Just go.
See ya.
Get in the car.
Right.
Fuck, lucky. It's lucky. Shut up. Get lost. It's lucky he doesn't do it the way I do it, the show, I mean. Because there's no way he'd be able to drive. I mean, not legally. I really need a co-host right now. Take pity on me. Someone on Skype. You bastards. See that? The listenership is on the live stream is plummeting, even as we speak. Even though that was actually, I'm going to make a mark. If we can't find anything, if we can't find anyone to help out with this whole thing, it's going to end right there. Thank you for listening. Love you. But if I do manage to find someone, I'm just going to ramble for a few minutes. Hopefully then I'll find someone. And we'll be able to continue from there. And I can read you real cool stories about how pretty much everyone knows that Ewan McDonald is a fucking murderer, even his wife. Women are finally recognized as smarter than men. A little bit about Jerry Brownlee. Could talk about all that stuff. Louis C.K., rap culture, the new rail loop. All of that good stuff we can talk about. That poor bereaved woman tried to sue a jogger. Well, that's not accurate, but I could give you the accurate story. Could do, in theory. I could give you the accurate story if we got to it. This would all have worked much better if Robin actually came. You know, she committed last week. She committed to coming on the show this week. And then today she was like, oh, dunno. I don't actually know if that's how she said it, because it was in text. And I don't even know if she was dictating into her dragon naturally speaking phone, or however it is things work these days. I don't know how it works exactly. Maybe we can play a game of Miss Manners. Would it be Miss Manners? You know, etiquette guide. We've got a question from Sasha on Twitter. It's not for us. It's for everyone on Twitter. What are you supposed to say when a foreign student staying with your next door neighbor comes over to ask for your Wi-Fi password? I'll tell you what I would say. I'd give them a real long, complicated password and make sure they wrote it down. But the wrong password. And then they would spend possibly an hour or more entering it, re-entering it, checking that the case was right, maybe making sure that, you know, it's an interrobang, it's a period, comma, colon, hash bang splat, at, dash m dash equals. That's what I'd do. I'd give them the wrong password. But no, it works for me. Look, I just typed it in again. It works fine. Do you want me to read it to you more slowly again? And then just go give them an obviously different one. And every time they ask for it again, just give them another different password. Their password is Brownlee. The password is aircraft carrier. But that's not what you said a minute ago. You said it was Brownlee. How long do you think we can keep this up? Before someone answers a Skype call? I think not very long. Ben actually ran for it. He has disconnected himself from Skype. That's how afraid he was of appearing on the show. You know, he has a team of writers who write all his stuff. That's why he can't do it off the cuff. You'd think it would be better, given that, his stuff. But it's mainly just excellent and interesting and then breathing into the microphone. It takes a team of people to come up with that material. Very disappointing. I can't believe he pays them so much. Appalling. Absolutely appalling.
Next story.
Ewan McDonald. I'm just going to keep going. Look, listen. You've got to understand how this show's going to be now. It's just going to be me reading the news. So if that doesn't sound like a good thing to you, escape. Get out. Come back next week and when hopefully we'll have a normal show with, you know, actual hosts again. Escape now. I've given you a pretty fair warning. So a couple of days ago, we got a story in the Herald, Guy trial. It's over. I'm not really reading that right. It's over, Anna told Ewan in jail. So Anna McDonald, hot-ish wife of a murderer, told him that they're fucking done and they're divorcing. Now, I mean, it came out to us that he's in jail for, you know, his other violent law-breaking in relation to Scott Guy. I mean, he burned down a house. He smashed up their new house. He spray-painted quite vile graffiti on their building. He's in jail for that right now. Apparently, there are three more charges which are still suppressed that we don't know about yet. That he's yet to be tried for. He fucking did it. He murdered that guy. But it couldn't be proven in court. So he was found not guilty. But please note, not guilty is not the same as innocent. Sometimes not guilty means innocent. In this case, I think it's pretty clear. Not guilty doesn't mean innocent. UMR conducted a poll of 750 New Zealanders, 18 and older. 20% of New Zealanders think that Ewan McDonald didn't murder Scott Guy. 20%. Pretty small number. Only 48% said that they think he's guilty. And quite a creditable 28% said they were unsure. And that is probably the most accurate answer you can give. And that is what happened in court. Unsure. That's exactly why he's not going to, you know, rot in jail for however long. So, I mean, I suppose to be completely accurate, I would say that I was unsure as well. Unsure and yet fairly confident even so.
30 minutes.
That this guy shot that dude with a shotgun while sneaking around in hunting slash scuba diving boots that his father imported that were good for stalking. I mean, stalking as in hunting, you know, sneaking after prey. He shot the guy in a rage. Not 100% on that, of course, but pretty confident. But yet, quite pleased, in a sense, that he wasn't found guilty, because it became fairly clear that the Crown's case was a bit patchy. And of course, that was because this prick used the right weapon, number one, and sneaked around sufficiently and maintained a consistent story from the beginning. So he got away with it. And, you know, what's the old phrase? It's like, better that 100 guilty men go free than one innocent man is jailed. Something like that. Numbers are probably different. And I think I would prefer that 100 guilty men go to jail and the innocent man is clearly exonerated. But given that that's not always the case. Someone in the chat room mentioned David Bain. It's another one where, you know, clearly he did it. Again, I'm not 100% on it. But who else did it if not him? Because it's Robin Bain didn't do it. Robin Bain did not do it. So who else was it? I mean, David Bain said that if he was going to do a murder, he would use his paper round as his alibi. And then he did. But at least he spent some time in jail. And at least Ewan McDonald is going to spend, you know, a while in jail. I don't know how long. I don't think arson gets you, you know, quite long enough. Not as long as a murder. Well, you never know. Sometimes people seem to get... Does it ever seem to you that sometimes people get weird sentences? Like insufficient? Like you hear about bizarre... you know, like heroin importers in the States getting 50 years. And meanwhile, in New Zealand, murderers sometimes seem to get like 7 years, 10 years. One murder is not equivalent to another, I suppose, but still, you know, if it's called murder and not manslaughter, then, you know, we've got to take that quite seriously.
Next story.
New Zealand women. And this is something that I thought had been true for a really long time. New Zealand women have finally overtaken men in IQ score. Now, you know, perhaps we can ignore IQ scores being a bit of a blunt object. I've been pretty happy with some of my IQ results, but because I've been so happy in the past, I'm never going to take one again. Because, you know, you can't improve on perfection, can you? You can only have a bad day and get a poorer score than last time. I'm pretty happy to stick with my confidence-boosting last result. I'm not going to tell you what it was. It was pretty high. Just quietly. Thank you. In the last 100 years, the IQ scores of both men and women have risen, but women's have risen faster. Now, I was under that apparently mistaken impression that women averaged higher than men already. But they've only just managed it. I wonder if this is an education thing. Because women are very clearly getting better education than men now. You know, you only need to look at a university class to see the gender imbalance, yeah, in some courses. Anyway, good for you, women. Congratulations. That was really condescending sounding, wasn't it? I didn't mean it to be.
Next story.
This is a complete... This is like... No shit news. That's the no shit sheep. There's a whole lot of different kinds of sheep in the discourse sheep shed. Don't ask why we keep them there. You know, sometimes you need a sheep and you don't want anyone to ask questions about it. So don't ask questions about it. Which sheep was it again? I don't even remember. I'm just going to grab one. I just grabbed one at random. That was the no shit sheep again. I knew it was that one. A developer interest. This is from The Verge. TheVerge.com. If you haven't checked it out, you should. It's a brilliant site. Developer interest in BlackBerry 10 falls 17%. Lags behind iOS, Android, and even Windows Phone. Which is definitely why the no shit sheep had to come out. There's a hilarious graph on this little article. It talks about what the developer interest was in quarter two of 2011, quarter one of 2012, and quarter two of 2012. BlackBerry 10 had modestly high interest. Let's say this is the graph actually measures how do you view the long term outlook for the following platforms. In quarter two, 2011, BlackBerry 10 was rated pretty poor, actually. Out of 10, what the hell is going on with this chart? Oh, two, it starts at 2. Awkward. It was rated about halfway between poor and excellent. And it's dropped from 5 to about 3.8. And this is presumably just from BlackBerry developers. Poor bastards. They must be miserable. iOS and Android, you know, iOS is definitely higher than Android. But they're pretty much level pegging around about 9, way up on the excellent end of the scale. Windows Phone 7 is plummeting. WebOS, which I guess that was the Hewlett-Packard one, I think, is, you can barely even see it now on the graph. Poor thing. Windows 8, it's way up there and dropping, sucked in. Yeah, it's a hard word being work, world, life, job. Being a mobile developer, if you're not working in iOS, frankly. If I was a mobile developer, iOS, it'd have to be the where you'd focus your work. And then after that, Android. And then after that, Windows Phone 7, I guess. And that's pretty much borne out in the graph. What an excellent story. So glad that we discussed it.
Next story.
What the fuck is the point of going on with this? I need someone to talk to. What do you reckon? I'll try and get an Australian. Why didn't he not? Let's just see what happens. Don't even know what time it is there. He's probably at work. I feel like I'm wasting stories. Good stories with no discussion on them. Children, man. Who would have a child? No, Australia's not answering. So Dylan's actually left the call open, annoyingly. I don't think he'll be back in time for the end of the show. It has got to be in the past. Surely the end of the show has to be in the past. Fucking children. Aren't they terrible?
Next story.
Louis C.K. wasn't defending Daniel Tosh. This is from therap.com, which is a blog about, you know, Hollywood stuff, TV and movies. It's all right. Louis C.K. did a series of pirouettes through a comedic minefield on The Daily Show, telling host Jon Stewart he didn't mean to defend Daniel Tosh for making rape jokes, but could still enjoy one once in a while. That last part, he made clear, was a joke. Now, did we even talk? We did talk about this Daniel Tosh thing last week, didn't we? Did we? I can't remember anymore. I'm very distracted from talking about this because I just can't help wondering if this is completely futile going on. Anyway, Daniel Tosh made a terrible joke about rape, and someone in his audience, I guess heckled him. And his response to her heckling was to suggest that she should be pack-raped by 5 men in the audience. It wasn't very funny. Concurrently with that, the response to that on the internet, Louis C.K. sent a tweet at Tosh, Daniel Tosh, saying he thought his show was really funny and that he has pretty eyes. And everyone interpreted that, and by everyone I mean some people on the internet, some loudmouths on the internet, to mean that he was defending him. He said, "Your show makes me laugh every time I watch it." People thought that that meant he thought that his stand-up was funny. But it turns out, and it's hard to say if this is true or not, if this is an excuse to get out of the shitstorm that has enveloped Louis C.K. It's hard to know if this is, you know, an excuse or if it's the story. He says he wasn't even reading the internet. He was in Vermont and he was watching TV and he saw Daniel Tosh's show, Tosh.0, and he was just talking about the show, which had no rape jokes in it. And it was complete misapprehension that he was defending him. And, you know, I mean, if you look at the tweet, it doesn't seem to be defending him at all, does he? Doesn't make any mention of it. So if it was about deniability, then it's very deniable. So he says he was completely unaware that Tosh was under fire, and it was just an honest compliment. Complete coincidence. 2 days later, he comes home and he sees bloggers. Well, let's see. Here's a quote from him from the show. 2 days later, I come home. This isn't what he sounds like. You should watch the TV show Louis, though.
What's your auntie been talking about?
Louis. It's very good. He makes it himself on a fairly small budget. 2 days later, I come home and I read these like bloggers and the Hollywood Reporter. Louis C.K. defends Daniel Tosh amid rape joke controversy. I had no idea. He got in trouble for making some jokes about rape and I didn't know about it. And so I'm a defender of rape. That's what everybody says now. And I've read all this stuff like, shame on you, Louis C.K. And, well, I'll never watch your show. You're a rape apologist. I've been called a rape apologist because I said hi to a guy. Because I said, hey, nice show, to a guy everybody was mad at. But here's the thing. This is like a fight between comedians and bloggers. We're all just hyperbole and garbage comes out of those two places. Just uneducated, unfettered blah. But whatever. It's also a fight between comedians and feminists, which are natural enemies, because stereotypically, feminists can't take a joke, stereotypically speaking. And on the other side, comedians can't take criticism, because comedians are big pussies. And so, you know, it all seems pretty reasonable. Especially when you see how he finishes it. To me, all dialogue is positive. For me, any joke about anything bad is great. Any joke about rape, the Holocaust, the Mets, any joke about something bad is a positive thing. I've read some blogs during this thing that have enlightened me, things I didn't know. This woman said how rape is something that polices women's lives, that they have a narrow corridor. They can't go out late. They can't go to certain neighborhoods. They can't dress a certain way. That's part of me now that wasn't before. And I can still enjoy a good rape joke. I believe him. Unreasonable people on the internet don't believe him. I read someone describe him as continuing to dig himself deeper into the hole. I don't think he ever even had a shovel. There's no hole. He wasn't involved. Anyway, watch Louis.
Next story.
5 funding options for transport in Auckland. This is according to Len Brown. Apparently, Auckland Council faces a $10 to $15 billion funding gap and are looking at ways of finding the cash. We can't rely on the central government to provide some of it because they just want to make roads in inappropriate places that, you know, the trucking lobby have demanded secretly, you know, in smoky backroom deals. Auckland Mayor Len Brown insists he's doing everything he can to avoid rates rises while still improving public transport. And improving public transport is not even on Len Brown's radar. Len Brown, fuck. Jerry Brownlee! I apologise. 5 options on the table are tolls, regional fuel taxes, congestion charges, development contributions, and additional parking charges. I think that the fuel tax is the way to go. Let's not forget that the last Labor government approved original fuel tax for Auckland to pay for our
45 minutes.
To pay for our, wow, 45 minutes. Maybe I can do this by myself, but probably won't ever again because this is fucking awkward. This is not the way it's normally meant to go. It's meant to be back and forth, joking, jibber-jabber. The total bill, Mayor Brown says, is about $70 billion. But the thing is, if we want services, we need to pay for them. You know, if we want decent cycleways, if we want decent walkways, if we want decent rail, we need to do them. And it has to be paid for. And if we leave it, it will get more expensive all the time. This is a lot of this stuff is stuff that should have been done 60 years ago or 80 years ago, some of this stuff. A lot of this stuff was planned, you know, maybe in a different shape because the city, you know, continues to develop and change. A lot of this stuff was planned decades ago. And we've just never been able to fund it. It's stuff that needed to have already been done and we need to bite the bullet and pay for it now. All of us in Auckland particularly, we need to pay for it now. Regional fuel tax, I think, is the best way to at least contribute to that. I don't know that will bridge the entire funding gap. I think congestion charges are a disastrous idea. I think paying a toll, anyone who's been up north and been through the toll road up there, saves about 12 or 15 minutes to go through a little tunnel. Lovely, smooth, safe, sweeping road. Costs about $2 or $4, I think. Pay it on the internet. Away you go. It's excellent. Tolls are excellent, but only for paying for new roads. I don't think we should put tolls on roads that already exist. We've seen things like that. I mean, don't forget, we had tolls on the bridge. I can remember the booths being there, and I feel like I can remember paying a toll. Not me, of course, would have been tiny. Going over the bridge. But that might be a false memory. So maybe it was just the toll booths that were there. Because I think that they were shut down pretty long ago. And that was to pay for the bridge. And it worked. And down in, I think, Mount Maunganui, they also had a toll bridge. They actually got in a bit of trouble down there because the, I don't know what the council is called. Let's assume it's called the Mount Maunganui District Council. They kept the toll on long after they had any legal authority to do so. I think that they'd long since paid for the bridge. And even after being instructed, I don't remember by who, some ombudsman, maybe a judge, even after being instructed that they had to withdraw the toll charge, they still dragged their feet for at least a year. Pretty shocking. But while you're actually paying for, you know, building the new infrastructure, I think people, on the whole, especially if there's an alternative, will just suck it up and pay the toll. New roads are nice. New roads are smooth. And toll roads, I don't know, maybe it makes them fractionally less busy. It probably hasn't done good things for Waiwera, though, because you don't even go through Waiwera anymore. You can just see it sort of over off in the distance, far over to the east, while you travel up a beautiful, wide, smooth road further inland. Of course, we won't have roads like that through Auckland Central. We won't have much new roading in Auckland City, will we? So I don't know that there's much room for tolls in the city, not to pay for the stuff that already exists. But with the rail, I mean, people are going to pay to ride the train. The more useful the rail network is, the more people will use it. And we've seen that in increasing patronage of the buses and the trains, as I understand it. Unfortunately, both of those things are still subsidised and will probably be subsidised forever because it seems like public transport in most countries is subsidised pretty heavily. It's pretty much a universal story. But that's because it's worth it. It's an investment that a city or a country makes. You know, if you can get workers into the city on a bus for $2, and the economic value of having those workers in the city will vastly exceed whatever the subsidy is. But anyway. So all of these options, I say, fuel taxes, tolls on new infrastructure, definitely, I think congestion charges are, I think it's a stupid idea. I don't think we need that. I just don't believe right now that the central city is sufficiently congested to ever justify that. Maybe once we're a city of 4 million people, maybe I'll feel differently then. But at that point, I think far more people will be riding the bus and taking trains just because they have to, because there won't be sufficient parking. Additional parking charges, that might be okay during the day, but I think that there should be definitely be differentiated parking day and night. Wouldn't be very good for the retailers in Auckland City either, would it? Increasing parking charges. Parking in the city can be outrageous. It was $1 an hour when I was down in Napier. $1 an hour. Cheapest I've seen in Auckland lately was $4 an hour. And that's cheap. That's not a parking building. That's on the side of the road. I don't know exactly what a development contribution is. I think that's when people build new buildings and new subdivisions and so on. And maybe that's fair too. Just as long as it doesn't affect individuals building their own, like a holiday home or whatever, or their own house. Because, there's things that companies can afford to pay that the individual citizens, I don't think should be expected to pay.
Next story.
Report. This is from techcrunch.com. Chrome for iOS. I don't think I've mentioned it on the show. It's just been released on iPad and iPhone about a month ago. And it's already up to 1.5% of the iOS browser market. And I'm not surprised. I've been using it on the iPad. I like it a great deal. What I like the most about it is if you use Chrome and you use it on multiple computers and you've got synchronization stuff set up, you'll see on the new tab window and other devices drop down or pop up in my case. And on that, you'll be able to see all of your computers. You can see all of the windows that are currently open on all of your Chrome machines, all of your Chrome browsers on your various machines, including on the iPad. So if you're reading something in the office and you decide you want to check it out anywhere else that you've got Chrome, you can just see it. You don't need to add it to Instapaper or whatever. It's very cool on the iPad. Very, very cool. And it's aside from that, it's very similar, to Chrome that you've seen everywhere. The interface looks very similar. It's really good. It's a little bit slow, though, because Apple, in their infinite wisdom, have decided that they have to use, whatever crappy HTML rendering thing that all other apps are stuck using. And Safari can use a much faster one. So there, that is a disadvantage. Hopefully that'll be solved. But even if it isn't solved, I'm going to use it, even if it is a bit slower, just because it's a bit better. But it is definitely slower. Yeah. Yeah, the synchronization stuff in Chrome, even aside from, on iOS, is brilliant. I bet they've had it in Opera for years. Years and years and years. But who would use Opera?
Next story.
The amazing contents of Steve Wozniak's travel backpack. Listen. He suffered a terrible head injury. I think he was in a plane crash decades ago now. He's never been the same since. That's when the goofiness really took over. He seems like a real sweet guy. He seems like a good dude, but weird. Strange. So he's shared a photo of all the stuff in his backpack. But the photo isn't even all the stuff in his backpack. And there are 4 iPhones in his backpack. But he justifies that, apparently. 2 of the iPhones are his. And 2 are his wife's. So it looks like 4 iPhones. It's not really. But he also has multiple iPods, multiple iPads, an unbelievable number of power adapters, even though most of these things will be recharged through USB. So why does he have all those power bricks? Bit inexplicable. Heaps of the little Game Boys. They aren't actually in the photo, but apparently he has a bunch of them. So many power bricks. He has far too many devices. All up, he's got something like 7 phones in his backpack, although a couple are his wife's. Or it's wife's that he carries for him. But this is ridiculous. This is like the backpack of a 4-year-old boy. Stuffing all of his favourite toys in. This is not the backpack of a rational person. not by any stretch of the imagination. He's got multiple Wi-Fi access points. Okay, I wouldn't travel with one, but if I felt the need, you know, if I was in a lot of hotels that only had a fixed, you know, an Ethernet port and I wanted to be able to use multiple devices, maybe I can see traveling with one wireless access point. He's got several in his backpack that he carries. That's a bit inexplicable. That doesn't make sense to me. You don't need all this shit.
Next story.
I hope he's all right.
Next story.
Widow, angry jogger cleared. Awkward headline. This poor lady, her husband was driving and he died after hitting a power pole. And it was moments after passing Mark Richardson, a jogger, who was on the side of the road. So the theory was that he swerved to avoid the jogger after being startled by him. No charges have been laid, as you'd expect. The police investigated for a long time, and they said no one would be charged over her husband's death. She says, I'm angry. I don't think my anger does anything for it. And that's true. At least that. She wanted this guy charged for jogging and startling her husband because he wasn't wearing a fluorescent top with a strip of reflectors on it. I don't believe that there's any rule that says you need to be lit up like a candle if you want to walk on the side of the road. In fact, that seems outrageous. And that this jogger thought, hopefully he never believed that it was going to happen. If he thought there was a chance he was going to be charged with this guy's death, that he had fuck all to do with, that must have been terrible. This woman obviously is just distraught. You know, she's lost her husband. But that doesn't mean she should be lashing out at people who, you know, were there, but you can't really blame. You know, blame the rain. I don't know that it was raining. Blame the tiredness. You know, I think that reflective vests only come into it if someone hits a jogger. If they're wearing a reflective vest, there's really no justification for it. And if they're not, maybe you could say that they don't need to be charged for hitting the jogger. But because the jogger's not wearing a reflective vest and someone driving swerves, overreacts, and crashes into a tree or a power pole, I don't think you can blame the jogger. But she tried to, and that's too bad. Share the road. Everybody slow down. That would make a pretty good solution. Just everybody slow down.
Shakespeare.
There's no Shakespeare ending because Dylan's gone.
Shakespeare.
There's no ending for the Shakespeare segment, so I've just played it twice. Lots of pauses when there's only one voice, eh?
What's your auntie been talking about?
So many things. In fact, it is a great time to be watching TV. Where do we even start? Suits, apparently. But that's one that Dylan put on. So let's hear what he has to say about Suits. That right. Don't know anything about Suits. But guess what else is back on? Breaking Bad, motherfuckers. Yeah, bitches, magnets. Oh!
1 minute.
Breaking Bad is some good shit. So, you know, if you've watched it previously, then continue watching it. If you've never watched it, then go and buy the box sets at, you know, Mighty Ape or JB Hi-Fi or wherever on the internet you buy them. I guess buy them on Amazon and get them shipped to you. Something like that. I'm pretty sure that's how it works. And watch Breaking Bad. It's a great show. It's about a chemistry teacher and one of his students. It's a good show. There's a bunch of other shows as well, but I'm not going to waste talking about them in the last 28 seconds of this show.
Best of life hacker.
Being a cat lady increases your risk of committing suicide. That's it.
Five. Urban Dictionary, word of the week.
Dylan would have done that bit as well. Thank you for listening. I don't know why you stuck with it, but I guess I did. So, you know, maybe we're all persistent. We all deserve a pat on the back. Have a drink.
One.
See you next week when hopefully we'll have two or three people. Goodbye.
You're listening to The Weekly Show on
With course.
All right, we're using that one.
Anyway, I did that for you. What's the bet Dylan comes back on now? He was never even gone. It was a ruse. He just wanted to see what would happen. Maybe he feels like he's been taken for granted. And this is a test. It's like, I think we need to break up. And then it's like, holy shit. Now I'm imagining a world in which we are no longer together. And so now I will take you more seriously and rub your feet. You know, or whatever. I don't know. Something like that. Do you think we should do an overflow?
Fish and chips.
This show is cancelled. Beep.